We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, Bulls Nation? Welcome into the CHGO Bulls Podcast. Coming to you live from our studios here, West Loop, downtown Chicago. I'm Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. Join my guy in studio, Big Dave. Bow!
Bow!
Bow! BWL Sports in your face. Our pound producer, Joey Spath, is rocking with us. Will the Goat is off today, but make sure you are following along. Will_Gottlieb for all of his updates during Bulls practices through these preseason weeks.
Yes.
Speaking of which, next preseason game on deck tomorrow night, 7 o'clock central tip-off time. We will be here for post-game immediately following against the defending champion Denver Nuggets, Dave.
Ooh.
You want to talk about preseason tests?
Ooh.
There's a test.
Yes, it is.
Lots to get to on today's show. Wanted to talk about the next sequence from ESPN's Top 100 that came out earlier today. Zach and DeMar both ranked. We will talk about where. Also want to talk a bit more about this concept of the Bulls changing their shot profile, which we've heard a lot about from AK, from Billy, and the players through training camp leading up to this fresh season, trying to improve that dead last three-point volume from last season, from the last two seasons. And whether or not, an obvious answer might be staring the Bulls in the face there. Wanted to touch on, however, speaking of that second preseason game on deck tomorrow night, Dave, the Bulls listing Coby White as their probable starting point guard again tomorrow night. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, saying, hey, we love what we saw from Coby.
Yes.
But maybe preseason is the time to explore other options, explore the options you have.
Yes.
The front office and Billy told us that starting point guard would be an open competition.
They did.
At training camp.
They did.
Maybe here, as you see, thank you, Joe, throwing up the probable starters listed for tomorrow night's game. Maybe Coby has won that job?
I mean, maybe they're just telling us shut the hell up. They don't give a damn about a competition. You know, drink a warm glass and shut the hell up. They don't really care what we're talking about and thinking. I mean, it's hard to debate it.
Yeah.
Because Coby really did earn it in that first game, man. Like, I mean, he stood out. It reminds me last year, that competition. Nothing was really clear after that first game. Like, so you saw multiple guys getting chances, you know, with the starting squad.
Yeah.
This one, it just felt like, yeah, he's starting point guard. Like, it honestly just felt that way. Like, yeah, you're the starting point guard. So going into game two, knowing how well he played, I guess they want to see if the consistency is still there. Because if it is, and even if it's not with the scoring, maybe it's not with the passing, you know, but Coby will always still be there as far as rebounding is concerned, and maybe he can still get that team set up. You know, what they're going to be checking out, well, at least me, his point guardsmanship, seeing if he's getting everybody situated and lined up and where they need to be, starting the break, slowing it down, getting it to the guys that need to have it. Like, we'll see what he's learned and grown as a point guard. But all in all, I have no issue with this, Matt. You?
I mean, I don't think I do. I sat here yesterday and said, I still kind of want to see Javon Carter in that starting five just to see what it looks like. But if Kobe has convinced Billy Donovan to that degree, then I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Because Billy Donovan, for large stretches of last season, when asked about Lonzo Ball's absence and who that team's starting point guard is, and for a while it was Io, and then, you know, they brought Patrick Beverley in for the last stretch of games. And whenever Kobe entered that conversation, Billy Donovan always seemed hesitant to say, yeah, Kobe could be an option there. It seems like the tune has changed a little bit. We talked yesterday about how Billy really praised Kobe's efforts after their game against Milwaukee on Sunday. I am curious to see if Kobe is, in fact, starting in this game tomorrow night, what kind of Denver lineup the Bulls will be facing out of the gate. Because, look, we talked about what we liked what we saw from the Bulls, their shot profile, the looks they were creating offensively, especially in that first quarter when they were beating up on a shorthanded Bucks team who was resting their key guys. Will the Nuggets rest their key guys tomorrow night, or will they play them? Because, you know, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, and Joker all played. Limited minutes, just like the Bulls' big three on Sunday, but they all played in that the Nuggets' first preseason game against the Suns the other night. So, I mean, Jamal Murray, it's a tough guard.
Yeah, very tough guard. And a guy you're going to have to worry about actually on both ends of the floor, because honestly, he's not bad defensively. It's just not discussed because he's so brilliant offensively. But he's really, really good, man. And I'm not saying nothing that everybody don't know. Jamal Murray is awesome. And Kobe White is going to have to go against guys like that on a regular basis if he's going to be the starting point guard. Like, night after night after night, he's going to have to face some either good to elite point guards, man. And Jamal Murray is definitely in that camp.
Going back, you know, talking about how the measuring stick games, you're thinking, oh, man, Denver Nuggets. Like, and the Bulls have to actually play them early in the regular season for the games that count. They also will see them two times in these preseason slate of games. The Bulls got worked by the Nuggets in one game last season, and then they won.
Yes, they did.
Convincingly.
Yes, they did.
Against the Nuggets in the second of those two head-to-head matchups.
Take that.
117-96.
Ass whooping.
I almost forgot that that is a score that the Bulls got the upper hand on against the champion Nuggets last season.
I remember it well. Because that's the year they broke the thing Jokic was doing. Remember, I can't remember the record he had, but it was something he had consistently done. I think it was
about his field goal percentage.
Yeah, it was something like that.
And Jokic finished 7 of 16 in that game. And I think he had a streak of games, consecutive games, where he hit 50% or above of his field goal attempts.
There you go.
And he finished 7 of 16.
Yes, he did. And Vooch had a really good game. Vooch really was giving it to him that game. I don't know what it is when the Bulls go to Denver, but they play pretty well when they go to Denver, man. They did it the year before.
Yeah.
Honestly. I remember when we went to Pete's Pizza.
Yeah.
And we watched Denver, wants to play Denver when they had Lonzo Ball.
Yep.
And they did very well.
Two
seasons ago. They played very well. I don't know what it is playing out there. We love Denver, by the way. Shout
love out to Denver. Denver.
Love Denver. Hate your airport, but love Denver. But it's just good to see that, knowing, you know, you can go on the road and, you know, go against the world champs now, you know, and, you know, just play well against them. You want to show against those teams like that, because that's the best team. They have the trophy. They have that sitting in the, a bigger version
of
this.
They got one of those.
Yeah, sitting a bigger version of this, you know, sitting in their stadium. So, yeah, you want to go up against the best, and you want to perform well against the best. Now, we know this is preseason. We get that. But we're still working through some things. That's why they're having these three-hour practices, keeping young Will the Go-Got leave a little later than Grandpa Willie probably would want to. But they're trying to get better, man, and we'll see what it looks like when they play Thursday.
We got some people chiming in the comments. Shout-out to our guy Clem, a.k.a. French Bulls TV. What's up, buddy?
What up, boy?
Who said, Kobe was the best Bull on Sunday, did what the team needed at point guard, but I still think Carter should start because the second unit needs Kobe's scoring.
Yeah, that second unit,
we did touch on that a little bit yesterday. Like, that second unit offensively – defensively, that second unit looks all kinds of fun.
Yeah.
Getting steals on steals on steals.
Correct.
But then when you turn around and go the other way, who's putting the ball in the hoop?
It's wild that that lineup had three guards and nobody could really score the ball. You know what I mean? Like, Javon Carter did Javon Carter stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he's putting up threes. You know what I mean? That's what he's going to do. He penetrated a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously great defensively, but you're going to need more than that, you know? You want Ayo to step up more. Caruso shot a three, but he didn't play a lot, which I don't want him to play a lot. It's Reason fine. It,
dude,
yeah,
you
it's
keep fine. Caruso in a cryogenic chamber of some kind.
In foil. Like, it's all right, man. Keep that dude fresh.
Bubble wrap.
Yes, correct. Correct. So it's going to be interesting for guys like Torrey Craig, who might get that option. Again, like I would like to see Vooch with the second unit, you know, playing with them for a few minutes because he would be the number one option. And we'll see if that works, you know, just facilitating and getting everybody where they need to be, because you're with a group of guys who play better when somebody is facilitating for them.
Yeah.
Like, I think of your boy Joakim Noah often when I think of stuff like this. When if I, like, put Joakim Noah out there with Javon Carter, with Torrey Craig, with Ayo, and with Caruso, and watching everybody just rotate around him and letting him find those guys, you know, with the ball, I think it would be very successful. I think it could be like that with Vooch, but throw into that the fact Vooch is really, really good offensively, so he can get the ball in the post and whenever he wants it. So that's stuff I want to see, you know, with the second unit. Hopefully that helps. I see people talking, like Fish talking about staggering Patton there with the second unit. Look, I saw Pat get staggered in with the second unit. It wasn't the same Pat that we saw with the starting five. I don't know what it was or what it is, but it wasn't the same aggression. It was a little more tentative than I wanted. The starting unit, he was like, oh, no, balls to the wall. You know, I'm going in like that. So I don't want to mess with that. I don't want that mentality to change for him because it feels like it changed a little bit.
Sort of ironic. Honestly, you'd sort of expect the opposite, right?
Yeah, you did. You expect the opposite.
You sort of expect him to be more assertive. Yeah.
But it didn't do that, man. Like, he just really balled out and felt more comfortable with the first unit. So staggering him with the second unit, I don't know. Of course, Zach is going to get that opportunity. Of course, DeMar is going to get the opportunity. Those guys like that. But I really, 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 really want to see what Vooch looks like with this second unit, man. I really do.
Cole Krug in the comments said the ceiling with Kobe at point guard much higher than the ceiling with Javon, even if the floor with Javon is higher.
That's true.
But I don't give a you know what about no floor.
About you.
That's an interesting way to look at it, and I think probably a fair point. Yeah. If Kobe's ascension continues, if he picks up where he left off, you know, tail end of last season, continuing to improve his game. And, I mean, as our friend Clem said in the comments earlier, like, there's no question in my mind that Kobe looked like the best bull on the floor on Sunday.
Yeah.
He'd have 14, 6, and 6 in, like, basically no minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And was just dishing dimes, knocking down a couple of threes.
Nice.
Getting to the rim.
Yeah.
He was doing what AK and Billy have asked for.
Yeah.
Which is getting more three-point looks and getting good looks for teammates by getting into the paint.
Correct.
And look, yes, is that easier to do when Giannis isn't there playing defense alongside Brook Lopez, when Middleton and his defense is not there? Sure. Mm-hmm. Yes. Which, again, is why I am hoping. We might get throttled. I don't care. I want the real defending champion Nuggets starting five out there against ours tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Because I want to see.
Yeah.
You talk about measuring sticks. Give me the biggest, scariest measuring stick we could possibly think of.
Even the biggest, scariest stick you got and put it out there. You're right. You want to see it against a more formidable team.
Yeah.
That's what you want to see it against. And you're right. Like, it's different, you know, Giannis and all those guys there. But honestly, that's how Kobe kind of plays. So Kobe would still go to the paint, you know, if Giannis and those guys are out there. It just probably wouldn't look the same. You know, we don't know what would happen if Giannis actually picks up him and the basketball and gives it to Dame. We don't know. But Kobe plays the same every time. But you're right, Matt. You want to know if we're out there full power, regardless if it's preseason now, we're out there full power, you want to see the other team out there at full power. So, yeah, I want to see us because you're playing two games.
Yeah.
In one of those games, you got to play everybody, dog.
Right.
You got to play everybody in one of those games. And honestly, I hope it's Thursday. I don't want to see it Sunday. I want to see it Thursday, bro.
Our friend Eco being in the comments mentioning that the Bulls match up well with the Nuggets.
And they do.
They do, which is why maybe, you know, I was like, yeah, maybe the Nuggets will just sit their guys in this preseason game because they're like, oh, the Bulls, we don't need to take that test.
Yeah.
Maybe they see the Bulls as a team that they dropped one of two against last season and say, hey, maybe we can learn some things. Maybe we can tweak some things by throwing our real unit out there against their, you know, real unit and see what happens.
I hope so. I just want, like you said, I'm really anxious to get an opportunity. And even if it's like two of those guys, I'll be happy. Yeah. Two of the four that you mentioned, right. I'll be happy with that. Like, but I need some of the best out there. I can't just go against, you know, your second unit. No disrespect to them. But again, if I'm putting out my best and my full power, no matter how short of a time it is, mm-hmm. I'm putting them out there. I'm putting them out there because I want to see them against your best too.
Yeah. I think I also, speaking of the Nuggets, saw that they exercised that option on Christian Brown. You know, their youngin' who ended up having big games for them down the stretch of their championship run last season. As a Bulls fan, I'm jelly. He was, if you recall, when we did our draft boards, two drafts, I wanted Christian Brown.
Yes.
Badly.
Yes.
That kid looks like a player.
Yes.
Also, shout out to our pal Saul over there at PHNX Suns. Hey, he was on an all-city onboarded call with us earlier today mm-hmm. for one of our new sponsors that's on the way. Speaking of which, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
It's an awesome one. But they are still so salty about that Nuggets-Suns playoff series from earlier this spring.
A little bit.
Salty.
A little bit. I'm not mad at them for feeling that way. Like, that's a real competition right now, man. Both of those teams vying for championships right now, and are on that kind of level. We'll get there soon, Bulls. We're
will,
not there
will
yet.
We?
We'll get there soon. We'll get there soon. Listening to him.
We'll get there. DeMond in the comments saying the Bulls only have one matchup in their favor against the Nuggets, and that's Zach LaVine. I don't know.
I don't know. I hear you. I'm just saying, they match up well, and they played really well against them. Maybe on paper, yeah, I see what you're saying. But when they get on the floor, it's a different monster, man.
Clem, French Bulls TV, says he wants to see Pat put Aaron Gordon on a poster and flex on him.
He's not going to flex.
And that's when I wake up. Yeah, I mean, you talk about some of the best defense that was played in the NBA playoffs last season.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon.
Very much so.
What a move it was for the Nuggets to get him.
It's very happy for him, man, because he just seemed like a guy that was going down a path of bitterness.
Because
he couldn't win a dunk contest.
Yeah.
Releasing diss records and all this other. He wore the number 50 because he felt like that's the number I should have had at the dunk contest. I'm like, I don't like where this is going, dog. Like, man. It worked out well for him, man. And he really found a role in Denver and turned him to a champion. Yeah.
Remember when the dunk contest was fun?
Oh, my God. Thank you, Zach LaVine.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Aaron Gordon. Thank y'all, man.
Man, that was a lifetime ago.
Oh, yes, it was.
Jeff, interestingly, pointing out here in the comments, he's guessing that Denver will be more likely to throw their real starters out there out of the gate because it's their first home preseason game. I guess they played in Phoenix for their first one.
Okay, but it was the Bucks' first home preseason game too now.
Yeah, that's true.
Just saying.
And who was it? Talking about Zach LaVine being the best Bulls in favor of the matchup. Speaking of Zach, we'll take a break, then we'll come back and dive into the Bulls, their three-point shooting. Because Zach had some interesting thoughts on his three-point shooting at practice this week.
Okay.
That's on deck. Hit the thumbs up button while we're sharing these words from our friends and sponsors. And if you aren't already, make sure you subscribe to the CHGO Sports YouTube channel, inching closer to that 40,000 subscribers mark. Mm. Shout out to everybody who's already subscribed. Appreciate y'all. Today's show brought to you by our friends at Circa Sportsbook. Man, I miss Circa Resort and Casino in Vegas.
It was so much fun.
Every time I think about it, I miss it.
It was a great time, man. Damn.
The best time.
That was fun.
But y'all here who are Bulls fans, Chicago sports fans in Illinois, you're in luck because they got their awesome location up in Waukegan, not that far away.
Yeah.
And you can also just gamble on your phone in the comfort of your own home. Circa Sportsbook offers some of the best tight money line splits.
Tight, tight, tight.
Games on Circa's sportsbook app strive to always have a -110 split on their lines.
Mm.
Unlike a lot of other sportsbooks where you'll look around at some of these spreads for NBA games or any other games, NFL games, and say, yeah, well, why is this -115 or -120 instead of -110? Well, it's because they're trying to get a little bit more money off you. At Circa, it's almost always and definitely more frequently you're looking at lines of -110.
That's amazing.
Circa keeps as little money as possible on large market bets like NBA futures, for example, if you're looking to get some of those in before the season starts.
Yeah.
Best odds you can find are going to be at Circa Sportsbook. Mm-hmm. They don't also limit their players based on winnings. Every player has the same limits, unlike other sports books, where they'll limit players who are on a hot streak. If you're on a hot streak and you want to keep hot streaking, do it at Circus Sportsbook.
Hello.
We encourage bettors, in fact, to download and explore all the sports betting apps that are available out there. And let's be honest, there are lots of them. Compare the lines for the same games, app to app, sportsbook to sportsbook. More often than not, you will find the best lines and the best value at Circa. Plus, there's their incredible customer service. Real people behind the Circa Sports brand who resolve issues in a timely fashion, unlike other sports books who just use those obnoxious chatbots.
Jerks.
I don't care if it's a sports book or anywhere else. Any company that I'm doing business with online, and I'm trying to get a hold of a human. Hello, I am a robot. Are you a robot or a human? How can I help you today? Maybe. No! Give me a human to talk to! Circa has humans to talk to.
Yay!
All aspects of the Circa app are being run by the same team that runs that immaculate Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Download their Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/Illinois-app.
Ooh.
One more time. That's circasports.com/Illinois-app.
Nice.
To sign up today. Also, be on the lookout for Circa's events, watch parties, and tailgates. We went to an awesome party of theirs last week at Old Crow in Wrigleyville.
It's a great time.
Shout out to them for that one. There will be more. Keep an eye out. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Text GAMB to 833-234 or visit areyoureallywinning.com.
Are you?
Yeah.
I think you are. Poo. Messing with Circa, baby. You know, when I gave up meat, one of the hardest things for me to get rid of, and I regret, was bacon.
Can you say that a little louder, Dave?
It was bacon.
You know, say that at the camera, Dave?
Bacon is amazing, all right? You know, Matt and I, you know, when we discuss food, and we argue about it. I try to get them to eat a veggie burger or a salmon burger because some of them are really, really delicious. He does not agree. Not even trying it. He just doesn't agree. But whenever we have a discussion about bacon and bacon substitutes, I always agree with Matt. There is no substitute for regular awesome bacon. Get turkey bacon and throw it away. Bacon, all right? That's what you want because it's delicious. And there's one person you should be getting it from. Why? Because it's in his name. Charlie the Bacon Guy. Oh, who don't want to hang out with somebody named Charlie the Bacon Guy? That's all I'm trying to tell you.
I always want to hang out with someone whose name is blank the Bacon Guy.
Even Kevin Bacon. He wants to hang out with him all. Oh, talk about his films.
You know he gets good bacon.
Oh, you know he gets all kinds of bacon. All right? But Charlie the Bacon Guy is the man. He's based out of Woodridge, Illinois, and he makes Kraft bacon and bacon jams in over 30 different flavors. This product is always all natural. No fancy preservatives. None of that stuff. And guess what? Once you do it, you're going to order lots of it. It's vacuum sealed, y'all, and it freezes great. It lasts in a package for up to 45 days. But if you're like my friend over here, it won't take that long, ladies and gentlemen.
Try 45 seconds.
Yes, and 6 months in your freezer, just to let you know that, all right? Bacon jams last about 60 days in the fridge, usually about 20 seconds in round times, and up to 6 months in the freezer. Well, man, what are some of the awesome bacon jams, Dave? What can I try? Well, how about maple pepper? How about French toast? Mm. How about chorizo?
Mm.
How about jardinera? Matt Peck.
Will Perdue.
That's what he do.
Eat the jarred bacon,
man. Eat the jardinera. The bacon jam goes perfectly on anything. Scrambled eggs, toast, crackers, burgers, grilled cheese, or Charlie's favorite, and probably Matt's favorite, this is my assumption, spoon. And also, your finger. It works always. Yep, two fingers. You saw how he do two of them things. He didn't do that on purpose. That was a natural swerve right there, ladies and gents. All right? He'll deliver it to you, meet you halfway, or even ship it. He will get you the bacon on time. You can contact him, guys, on Instagram at Charlie the Bacon Guy, on Twitter, or X if you're calling it that, CZ the Bacon Guy, or you can email him at charliethebaconguy@gmail.com. The website is on the way. Charlie the Bacon Guy, he's got that fire.
Ooh! Woo! I love hearing you read an ad about Bacon.
Yes.
Man.
Yes. I mean,
you know, that's usually my wheelhouse.
Yes, I know.
But
I'm going to tell the truth, man.
Gambling and Bacon. These are my ad reads.
That is so true.
But they were on the schedule together.
That's so true.
I'll take the money lines talk.
You that tell the people. That is so damn
even true.
Even
though you abstain.
Yes. It's so true.
Some inexplicable reason.
Well, you know, hey, man, it's a reason. Right. But Charlie the Bacon guy, goddamn.
For those of you humans who use your brain and your mind, too, to know that bacon's the most delicious thing you could ever eat at any point in any day or night, yep. Charlie the Bacon guy.
Yes, fish, he delivers. Yes, delivers. He will deliver to you, absolutely.
So you don't like when people take, like, a carrot and slice it, like, lengthwise and then bake that in the oven, and then they say that's bacon. You ever heard that?
Stop.
That anger you, Matt?
It's like the people who try to say like a wet, like a.
He said that anger you.
Like a wedge of a head of cauliflower can be substituted for a burger patty.
Would you?
Oh,
like,
you ever just season a slice of cauliflower right down the middle and grill it like a burger? Get out of here. Reevaluate your life.
Yeah.
Throw the cauliflower away. Get yourself some ground chuck, for God's sake.
I want to have you guys over for dinner and be like, we're making steaks. Matt comes over. It's like a grilled piece of watermelon.
It's like a tuna steak.
Yeah.
It's like that episode of Parks and Rec where Ron really wants to go to the steakhouse, but it's closed for renovations. And then Rob Lowe is like, oh, come on over to my place. I'll get the grill up, fired up. And then he's grilling just giant heads of portobello mushrooms instead of burgers. I remember. So he's just like, what the hell is this?
Oh, man. Joe, you invite us over, you gonna have food for everybody? Like, you gonna have some salmon burgers?
You better have some salmon burgers. Yeah, you're gonna hear about it from this guy.
I got that, vegetarian options.
You got that? Okay. All right. I'll come through.
Vegetarian options at my house when I'm hosting, beer.
Cheese.
He'll
get the cheese.
Cheese and some vegan, fries. I will have some cheese and crackers for you.
Yes, he will. He'll definitely do that for you.
You better believe those crackers have gluten in them, God damn it.
You're putting bad shit in you today over Matt Peck's house. God damn it. This is how it works.
We only got one life to live, y'all.
I like how Anthony says, I bet Grayson Allen hates bacon.
Oh, you know he eats vegan bacon. Like a dumbass.
Oh, man. Sean, I didn't even know you was out here.
Where'd Sean come from?
What the hell?
What the fuck?
What you been doing here? Sean
was just sneaky hanging on a balcony this entire time.
That is, man, I don't even know how to feel right now.
And it's dark already.
It was dark as shit.
I don't like how dark it's getting.
It is dark as shit out there.
That was creepy.
A little bit.
I thought we were, like, getting boarded like a pirate ship.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on. My man, Sean.
Bye, Sean.
That was,
I thought that they were going to vote to eliminate daylight savings. But apparently it didn't pass or something.
There was some talk of that. But it's coming up in early November.
Yeah, don't.
You don't.
I like it.
You
like it a lot.
It's great in the fall.
Yeah.
When you fall back. Yeah. And
it's great for a day when you get an hour of sleep.
Yeah.
Then you lose that one day and you've adjusted, and then it sucks every other day.
No, I enjoy it.
About?
Because
it gets dark at 3 p.m.
But you can't vote on the sun.
If they didn't do daylight savings time, it would get dark at 2 p.m.
No, yeah. No. That's the opposite of what they're saying. We wouldn't change the clocks because we're not a nation of farmers anymore. That is what they were saying. They would not change the clocks back, therefore just stay.
No, Illinois is a farming state.
And it would not, relatively, yes, it would not affect, it would stay lighter later.
No.
Yes.
No.
That's why they're doing it. Obviously it would
change.
It would move up. It would still get darker relatively earlier, but
the sun's going down.
Talk with something Paul said.
Whether you call it.
They say I'm right. They're telling me I'm right. Thank you guys. Paul said
Joey and the world is flat.
Okay, so just pretend that the daylight saving in the fall didn't happen, right?
Sure.
And you're like, okay, so instead of waking up and like, oh, it went, you know, from 2 a.m. back to 2 a.m. again.
Yeah.
Then the next day, if that didn't happen, the sun sets at whatever time, 4:17. You know, oh, now it sets at 5:17 instead. Mm. It is saving sunlight.
Yeah.
That's why they call it daylight savings time.
You'll screw your body clock up, bro.
Yeah, I guess you're saving daylight because you're moving that into the more.
Yes.
I'm out for it. Keep it lighter later. I'm out for it.
Keep it lighter later. You know, you still want it like that when it's like, you know, 18 feet of snow outside?
Yes. Okay. It's depressing when it gets so dark at so like, we're going to be doing the show. It's going to be pitch black.
It's going to be depressing when you see 18 feet of snow with the light, too.
We are the last. We are mostly, you know, us three, you know, especially going into the season. Mm-hmm. We're not early morning creatures, you know, with our workplace.
We're back on the graveyard shift.
I care less about the morning daylight and more about the afternoon daylight.
Afternoon daylight.
Yes.
That's what you care about.
That's what I care about.
Okay. All right. Well, the Joeys are rolling with you, man. They feel you, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate y'all.
Joey is always right.
Right.
Period.
Always.
Thank you, Shay Dog.
Hey,
I love
Shay
you.
Dog, you need to hang out with Joey some more. I'm just kidding. Joey's right about a lot of things.
This is true.
But this daylight savings debate we're having, I think
we'll see us a while.
We need to continue at some point.
We need to bring it back. Table it. Put a bookmark in it. Bring it back another time.
Shoot it, kaboot it.
Shoot it and kaboot it.
All right, let's talk about this Bulls shot profile problem that they are trying to resolve this season. So I saw this interesting stat from our pal Drew Stevens from It's the Bigs.
Shout out,
Drew. Great to see you at Media Day last week. Joey, I don't know if you had that screenshot you can share, but he's talking about Zach LaVine and his three-point rate compared to his makes and percentages. This is a tweet I saw from Drew Stevens last week. Zach LaVine, who's knocked down 38.6% of his threes since joining the Bulls, ranked in the 46th percentile in three-point attempt rate last season, according to Kraft at NBA. As a reminder, only 16 players made more trays than LaVine, 204 of them, last season. Mm. So that was Drew tweeting last week about Zach and his three-point percentage compared to attempt rate. I look at those numbers, and I see a problem.
What do you see? What do you see?
My problem that I see is only 16 players in the NBA made more threes than Zach LaVine last season.
Right.
And he's only in the 46th percentile in attempt rate.
Mm.
Attempt rate needs to be up if you are that elite of a three-point shooter.
Mm.
How many times do we hear Zach and or Billy Donovan last season talk about Zach LaVine's attempted threes per game and what number that should be compared to what number it more frequently actually was. Mm. On top of that, our guy Drew Stevens had an update with one of Zach's quotes from practice this week.
Okay.
Saying, I want to shoot more threes.
Yes.
In games that we won, I shot more than my average number of threes. Numbers don't lie, so hopefully I get some more up.
Yeah.
And Drew added with that a comparison split of wins and losses and Zach's three-point attempt rate last season.
Mm-hmm.
In Bulls wins last season, he made 3.4 threes on 7.4 attempts per game, 45.7%.
Mm-hmm.
In losses, he made just 1.9 per game on 6.8 attempts, 28.8%.
Mm-hmm.
So Zach is correct to say that his attempt rate was higher in games that they won, but you also see a substantial difference in percentage. 29% to 45%, basically. Huge splits there. Simplifying it, what does it mean? When Zach LaVine is on from downtown, Bulls are way more likely to win games.
This is true.
Ipso facto.
Oh, my goodness.
But the attempt rate, even on the high end in the wins, not quite 7.5 attempts per game, how many times do we hear him and or Billy say, hey, get up 10 threes a game.
Yeah.
You're Zach LaVine. You're one of the best three-point threats in the NBA. Shoot 10 a game.
Dude, I went over this a lot, you know, during the season. You remember when everybody was just clamoring because I kept saying catch and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just showing the numbers and what they are and breaking down the percentages of what they are and why you should be shooting more threes and why don't you take more threes. You're a great three-point shooter. Do more of this shit. It's just funny to hear him say, I should be taking more threes. You know, it's like, yeah, I know. Do it. Do more of it. We know you should be doing it. Do more. And yes, Billy knew it. We all knew it. We've been screaming it. We wanted more of it. You are the person that had to come to that realization. You know what I'm saying? Because we came to it a while ago. We all knew it. We knew you should be shooting more. I appreciate Drew even showing the wins and losses. I love stats like those. Mm-hmm. in the wins, this is what happens. In the losses, this is what happens, sir. This is how it goes. I love those kind of stats. So even just showing, because I used to just show what it was from certain feet. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? How he was way better just being a catch and shoot shooter, which you saw him do two of them in the first quarter in the game against the Bucks.
Right.
You saw Kobe just find him in the corner. Missed one of them. But you saw him find him in the corner, wide open, shoot the three, Zach. It's there. It will always be there for you. And please just take more of them. Yes, take 10 of the game. I don't care. Take more, dog. Like, because you're good at it. Those stats, you're right, Matt. Now that you pointed that out, now I'm frustrated about it. Because I'm like, yes, it just pointed out, yes, you're really this damn good.
Right.
This is really this damn good at it. And you're like, eh. No! More! Give me more of this, Zach LaVine. You're just that good at it.
It's weird. It's not like he's like, it's like he's Ben Simmons and it's Brett Brown and they're like, you have to take a three every game. Like, he's good at shooting them.
No, but that's the thing.
He's a great shooter.
People talk about DeMar DeRozan that way.
Yeah,
right. Like, could you launch an occasional three maybe to help us out? And DeMar said at Media Day, yeah, I'll probably launch a few more threes. Yeah. We saw him knock down a three in their preseason debut against the Bucks.
Yeah.
But again, and like Eco being, you know, framing it another way in the comments saying, I don't care who shoots threes. I just want them to make more threes.
Yeah.
Because and that's this whole conversation we've been having about the Bulls offense changing its shot profile.
Right.
How do you not finish with the worst 3-point attempt rate in the NBA for a third straight season? And our guy Markay is often been pointing out, look, are Javon Carter and Torrey Craig really enough of a change for the team to change its shot profile?
It's just
like the 3-pointers that Javon and Torrey Craig take, is that enough to like greatly change this team's shot profile? And I think I agree with Mark in that the answer of just those two players by themselves, no. It needs to be a team-wide approach to get more threes.
Yeah.
That's why you're hearing Billy talk about the ways that they can get more three-point looks, more good three-point looks for any and everyone. Mm-hmm. But one of the obvious choices is Zach is your best three-point shooter. He's shooting in the 46th percentile across the league in three-point attempt rate. That should be higher.
Yeah, definitely should be higher. And even to Mark Kay's point about Javon and Torrey Craig, it's not that he doesn't recognize that they shoot a really high percentage from three. It's the same point we're talking about with Zach. We get that. But those attempts that they take, they aren't tons of attempts that they're getting, that they're taking out there. One, because maybe one they come off the bench. But two, it's not like they can create it. Zach, what makes it even more fun, he can create it.
And, like, he knocks down difficult
threes.
Yes, correct. In addition to the
cold-blooded ass threes.
You can make those. Let's also try to get him a few more catch-and-shoot threes this season.
Catch and shoot. Shoot.
It's like talking more about getting good three-point looks by getting that paint penetration.
Yes.
Which is a phrase we've been hearing a lot from Billy and AK. Zach LaVine's corner threes, deadly,
dog.
It's like an automatic 3 points.
Seriously, dog. Seriously.
But how often did we see him get those last season?
Not many.
Very rarely.
Not many.
Try to, you know, add some more of those to the holy shit. Did Zach just bury that step back three in that dude's face?
And that,
because it's great to get those. Add some easy Zach threes to that.
Some simple ones. And again, that goes back to them talking about getting penetration and getting to the paint, because that's exactly what Kobe White did. Penetrated, got to the paint, they collapsed. Oh, my God, Zach LaVine's wide open in the corner. Here's the basketball, Zach. Do what you want to do for right now, sir. You're going to see more of that. And as long as that continues to happen, that will raise the shot profile of the team and of Zach LaVine. I want to see games where he has 10 threes. I want to see times where he's averaging 7.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to say Zach LaVine in the last 8 games is averaging 7 attempts a game. Like, I want to say that. I want to say that, dog.
He's a man who has multiple career games of making double-digit threes.
Like, it's what he do. And it's the fact that he can do it himself. That's what makes it even more like, oh, my God, why are you only 46% time? Because you can do it yourself.
Right.
We know you're great at the step-back three. I pointed out catch-and-shoot. I pointed out many a day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the fact that you can literally take 2 dribbles and pop that joint right there in their face, dog. We've seen you do it. It's very damn sexy. You had a game where he hit, 13 threes against Charlotte?
Mm-hmm.
We saw that.
think he had a game last season where he hit 11.
Come on, man. Come on, dog. Like, you do this. This is what you do, and I'm glad he's recognizing it and wants to do more of it.
Yeah. Our guy Fish saying it's a style of play they need to make a habit. They need to do it. They need to stick to it every game until it's a habit.
Yeah.
Chocolate Salty Bulls. Hey there. There's a familiar name in the comments. Welcome back.
Shout out.
Saying the Bulls finally ran a few off-ball screens. Hopefully we see more of that. Yes. They ran good off-ball screens to find open shooters on Sunday against the Bucks.
I mean, a lot. There were a lot of screens going on with the Bulls, man. It was good to see.
Never stop setting off-ball screens.
Don't do it.
Do it a million times.
A
million more.
Yes.
And find Zach for corner threes.
Correct.
Please.
And even Patrick Williams as well.
Yeah.
Who took six threes that game? You know what I mean? Like, yes, more of those attempts also for him as well.
Who's your team's next best three-point shooter right now?
It's Patrick Williams.
It might be Pat. We know that Kobe can knock down. We know that Kobe's streaky.
Yes.
Pat is coming off of another season where he increased his three-point attempt rate and kept it above 40%.
Yes, he did.
Actually kept it above 41%.
Yeah. And it's shocking how wide open he always is from three. Mm-hmm. Like, even with that, like, he's still so wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Keep doing that, NBA. Thank you very much for that. Leave that man alone. Let him shoot.
Corner three that Pat knocked down on Sunday, where it was like a catch and shoot opportunity, and then a closeout came flying at him, and he just gave a quick little pump fake, and then I can't remember which buck it was, but he came flying to the corner for a closeout, and Pat just let him go sailing past. Then he calmly was like, "Oh, okay, now I'm open."
Right,
knocked it down.
Right, that's it. No, thank you very much. Here's a three for you. I'll meet you down on the other end.
Yeah,
more, more of this. Damn it.
French Bulls TV said, obviously you'd rather have Zach shooting those threes instead of Caruso. You know what? If Caruso's open, take the three, Caruso. Take the damn
this
three.
This is what we're talking about, raising the shot profile.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yes, you're right. You have a better percentage and chance of other guys hitting it. But if it's open to you, take it. This is why we're saying DeMar take threes. We know there are other players better than DeMar that shoot it. But if it's open to him, shoot it, bro. Yeah. Like, that's what helps your team, man. It keeps the flow and the rhythm of the team. You don't want to mess up the rhythm of it by pump faking all day and going to the bucket. Oh, man, now we got 3 seconds.
Yeah.
There were a couple times in that game you saw them overpass.
Yeah.
Where they just passed up shots from the perimeter and they just, 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, turnover. Because they were overpassing, dog. Yep. That's what we're talking about. Take the shots, raise the shot profile. Then you got guys who can just crash the boards and get the rebound, man, and roll with that.
They have to find that sweet spot between overpassing and getting enough off-ball movement where they get those good looks.
Correct.
But then once you create those good looks with your off-ball screens and your cuts and your dive, then shoot.
Then shoot.
Speaking of pump fakes, Taryn Seven in the comments brings up the other interesting point of it's not a matter of Zach needing to come to the realization of shooting more threes. It's a matter of less DeMar ball moving the ball around.
Mm.
That will find Zach. That's the other part of this conversation of what amount of sacrifice is DeMar DeRozan willing to make this season if they want to genuinely change their offense.
Yes.
To create better and more frequent looks on threes. And if DeMar is willing to contribute a bit more three-point shooting himself to help that, to help achieve that team goal, great. Is he also willing to sacrifice a couple of those possessions where it's DeMar, ISO, dribble, get to my spot, pump fake, bucket. Mm. Which, because, again, Bulls fans have realized, what is one of the most reliable buckets the fans have watching the last 2 years? Because it's that.
It's DeMar.
It's that.
Yeah.
But are we going to see a legitimate change where maybe those DeMar mid-range attempts in isolation come down in order to get more movement and more three-point attempts? Because as you said, Dave, if DeMar is willing to make that sacrifice and the team makes this change offensively, they still have that option in their back pocket when it's what? When it's crunch time.
Crunch time, slam it down, the ace down on the table. Give it to DeMar, or even in stagnant time, because you saw it in that preseason game when it got stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
DeMar need a bucket. I got you. DeMar, fine. Somebody got to get to the line. Okay. You still have that option. It's just you don't want to do it every single play. You have to get the ball movement and get everybody involved in there. And then when, like Matt said, it's money time, go ahead and let DeMar do DeMar shit. Let him do it.
Let him do it. Our friend Craig Braggs is salty in the comments because of something you won't let him
Braggs.
Do.
Braggs, what's up? What'd I do, Braggs?
Braggs is saying hit the like button even if you don't have a secret handshake with Big Dave.
See, Braggs, this is just going to make
you're making it worse.
Like,
live look at Braggs, yeah, digging man. His hole deeper.
Like, keep going. This is just going to make it go longer and longer. When I came and I gave him a hug today, and I knocked his headphones out of the jack mm-hmm. on accident.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and said, is that the secret handshake?
Oh, my goodness.
It was great,
everybody,
man.
Jason Woski.
AZ.
Back to Pittsburgh.
Man? There he is, sir. Big win,
first
sir.
First win.
Big win.
First win for them Hawks.
First the bitty.
And so the, I like the first career NHL point from Connor Bedard. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Got a point on his
I did watch
night.
The game. Yes, I did.
In the Blackhawks dub.
Yes.
This is and awesome. They got another one tonight. Second night of back-to-back.
Yes, they do. And that's why he's here.
Black
and the
Hawks.
Rest of the crew will be here.
CHGO Blackhawks postgame coming for y'all again tonight.
Yes. I love it.
All right. We got to take our second ad break. Then we'll come back and wrap things up with a look at those ESPN Top 100. Before that, though, I see this super chat from Eli that I wanted to make note of. Eli, thank you for the super chat. He said, I thank the Bulls for making the post in support of Israel. I haven't been good mentally, but every time I listen to you guys and see you guys, I laugh. Appreciate that, Eli.
Thank you, sir.
Nothing
appreciate
but the
it,
best
man.
To you. I know that there are some trying times that people are going through with this, with these horrible things going on over in the Middle East right now between Israel and Hamas. Obviously, affects some people more than others.
Word.
But to those it is deeply affecting, our hearts go out to y'all. And it truly, it means a lot that just sitting here watching and or listening to us
yes.
shoot the shit about the Bulls is something that could cheer you up. That yes. I mean,
absolutely.
That's an incredible compliment, and I'm humbled by it.
I believe you're in Israel, so hope that you're physically safe. Hope your family's safe. Thinking about you, thinking about, you know, all the people on both sides, Israel and Palestine, you know, that are, you know, going to be affected by this, and praying and hoping for, you know, a long-standing peaceful solution. But, you know, glad that we can, you know, bring you some joy and some laughter. Hope that everything's good with you.
Absolutely.
Truly.
Man.
Nothing but the best. Nothing but love out to you, Eli. And everyone out there, stay safe.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's take our second ad break. Then we'll come back to wrap things up. Today's show brought to you also by our friends at Splash Sports.
Splash.
NFL football. Pick'ems. My God. Survivor contests. My God. Get on board. CHGO has a weekly pick'ex and NFL Survivor contest for everyone to participate for real dollars. It's easy to enter. Just head to splashsports.com/CHGO. You can find the link in the description and sign up. All you need to get started is $10.
That's it.
Just $10 to enter either CHGO's weekly NFL Pick X contest and CHGO's Survivor. The more you enter, the more who enter, the larger the prizes. Mm. We're going to be running weekly contests all year long, so be sure to keep that link handy. Maybe you want to run your own contest. Tired of being the commissioner of your fantasy season-long fantasy league. Mm. This guy. Right through that link, you can start making money, being rewarded for running the stuff that you and your family and friends are doing together on Splash Sports. Head to splashsports.com/CHGO to join in. Different contests coming throughout this NFL season. We're stoked to compete with you guys and against you guys. Be sure to click their link in the description.
Mm.
Splash Sports. Splickety splash, make some cash.
Hey, what? Yes, sir.
I don't know. Big Dave just like Monstar alien baby crawled into me for a second there.
Say splash splash.
Oh, we spent too much time together.
This is a fact.
And by that, I mean
we're going to do more.
A proper amount of time together.
And more times will be had. Also, I went against Jamar Chase in my fantasy league.
My condolences. So did I.
Yeah. But I had DJ Moore. So.
Win. How nice for you.
Win. 4-1. Let's go. Ow. Beer. Give me beer and more beer.
I need it.
Matt loves beer. Joey enjoys beer.
Hello.
Jay-Z enjoys beer. It's a wonderful thing, y'all. And you know who has it? The Goose Island Beer Company. Hit me, Joey.
Quack, quack.
One more time because you were late for the people. Oh, it's the CHGO. It's supported by the Goose Island Beer Company. It's been Chicago's beer since the Jordan year. That's 1988. Of course, that roster is stacked. the Beer Hug family, the 312 Wheat Ale, the Man Big Day favorite, the Full Pocket Pilsner. But since almost daylight savings time, Joey's favorite time, we know that fall is arriving. Mm. And that means Oktoberfest is in effect. That Oktoberfest beer, you know you want it, you know you need it. Go get you some, because Goose Island is going to do it to you right. And grab that ultra fresh, exclusive beer at the Goose Island Original Brew House on Clybourne Avenue in Lincoln Park, or from that tap room on Fulton Street in West Town. It's the Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer, the true taste of Chicago. Hit it again, Joey. Still late on them. It's all right.
Delayed quacks.
It's daylight savings time.
Joey. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's it.
Daylight savings time.
Joey Daylights.
I mean, Joey Darkness.
Joey Darkness.
On those cues.
It is true.
This is something I'm not going to back down from this one. You guys can make fun of me. It's like, I think I'm on the right side of this one. I think you guys are the crazy ones.
We always the crazy ones, Joey. It's all right. I don't mind this. It's okay.
Goatleaf would agree with me. So would Mark. I don't know if they do daylight savings in Australia.
Isn't it dark out? No, isn't it dark out? Oh, it's Alaska I'm thinking of. No. I'm thinking of Alaska. Excuse me.
You're thinking of Alaska being dark for most of the 24-hour day in the winter.
Correct.
And then in the summer.
Correct.
In Alaska, it's light for like 20 hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is true.
Either way.
It's true.
Joey's not backing down.
He's not backing down. Not backing down, guys. I'm standing up.
Oh,
Joey, stand up.
Joey Petty over here, not backing down. Stand him up at the gates of hell or the gates of daylight savings time.
Is that gift for him in Game of Thrones?
Taking on the whole Bolton army.
That's right. All you daylight savings.
Now, that gift has a specific usage for me in relative terms to this job, and that is when the chat porn bots start coming. That is when
yesterday.
That's when I unsheathe my sword and take a stand.
We don't see them nearly as often.
No, they're gone now. They're gone for the most part, but they do pop in random shows. Yeah. We did have one, I think, yesterday, and then we did have, for some reason, we did the Bears watch-along show.
Okay.
Spammed with porn bots. Just non-stop.
Wait, the most recent
one? The one I did a couple weeks ago.
I was there.
It was non-stop.
It was non-stop. Okay. But, I've scared them. I've scared them halfway to house.
Jamon in the comments just said, send Joey to the wall. Oh, we
y'all are funny out wall. There. Y'all are so funny, man. Joey. I swear.
Joey's watch is just beginning. It's not yet ended.
Joey Night Watch.
All right, so the ESPN NBA Top 100, which we discussed, Vooch being ranked number 75 on yesterday, 51 through 11 came out today. They're saving the top 10, keeping us, on the tips of our toes. However, probably not surprised to learn that 51 through 11, Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan both in that window of players.
I'm shocked.
DeMar DeRozan came in at number 39, previous rank 28. So when they did these a year ago, keep in mind DeMar DeRozan was on the heels of his first season as a Bull and a historically great NBA season.
Correct.
Not just a historically great Bull season. Right. DeMar was doing shit that hadn't been done since Wilt. As a small forward.
Wilt.
And these were done by Jamal Collier, ESPN.
Yeah. Shout out.
Saying, why did DeMar fall 11 spots from 28 to 29? He said it would have been hard for DeRozan to follow up on that career year during his first year in Chicago, but DeRozan was still an all-star his second season with the Bulls. However, the Bulls did not win at the same level as they did two seasons ago.
That's what it's all about, guys.
46 wins down to 40 wins. Yep. Collier added, the big question for DeMar is entering the final season of his contract with the Bulls, although both he and the team have expressed interest in an extension. If the Bulls do not have more success this season after missing the playoffs in 22-23, will DeRozan's tenure in Chicago continue? Obviously, that's the big question. We all got we're not answering that right now answer when it came up at Media Day, which is fine and to be expected. But and any disrespect you see, Dave, on DeMar falling 11 spots from 28 to 39. And I will, if you want, just rattle off a few names of people who jumped DeMar in this list.
Okay. Rattle, rattle, thunder, cracker, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the car expert.
Don't worry, call the Matt Peck man.
Yeah, that's me. Oh, fix your car.
But while you look, let me say,
go ahead.
I don't feel this was wrong. Okay. I feel like this is right. And I feel like what Jamal said at the end is what is the emphasis on everything the Bulls do and have done these past couple seasons is win. Everything is predicated on the win. You want the accolades, you want the love, you want this, you want that. It all comes with the winning, period. That's it. When Jamal, when DeMar was a starter, as far as the All-Star game, guess what the Bulls were doing? Winning. They were winning. When he came off the bench last year, guess what they were doing? Winning. So it's all about that. Everything is predicated to that. You can put up the numbers you want. And I like that the Bulls have said this a lot this season. Billy has said it. DeMar, like all those guys have said it. Like, yeah, we put up these numbers, but we're still 24th ranked offense.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've heard coaches, I've heard the front, I've heard all of them say this. But it's because it's true. You're putting up the numbers. That's great. It's awesome. It does it lead to wins, and it hasn't. So I understand why he falls. I feel it's honestly respectable to still have him in the top 40 right there because
yeah.
he is. He really yeah. is a top 40 player in the league, in my opinion.
I think he is. Let's look at the guys, you know, 31 through 40, basically. So the guys immediately ahead of DeMar. You got Jaren Jackson Jr. at 31, Brunson at 32.
Shout out.
He jumped 35 spots.
I was about to say,
one of the biggest jumpers from last year to this year. He was ranked 67th last year.
Good for him.
Mikal Bridges at 33, Kyrie 34, Ja 35,
yeah.
Darius Garland 36, Bradley Beal 37.
Mm.
I see a little bit of disrespect there. Like, yeah, we'll see what Beal looks like with his new super team over there in Phoenix, but I have been staunchly dying on my hill that Bradley Beal is washed and overrated.
Ooh,
get him out of these rankings.
Really?
I might I might be totally wrong about that. We'll see what happens.
I mean, he fell a lot in those rounds. I think he was like 19.
Let's see. So Beal was 19 last year. He fell 18 spots.
Yeah, he fell.
So
bro.
Even more disrespected than DeMar was. and sandwiched between Beal at 37 and DeMar at 39, Zach LaVine at 38. Zach LaVine was last season at 27. So he and DeMar were right there next to each other last year.
Yeah.
Here they are again, right next to each other, but 11 spots lower.
Yeah.
Here are Collier's notes on LaVine. He was not himself at the start of last season with the offseason knee surgery and did not play with the same offensive punch for the most part of the first half.
He did not.
But he picked it up after the All-Star break, averaging 27, 5, and 4 down the stretch to get the Bulls into the play-in tournament. One game to watch, Collier notes, is November 18th, the first time the Bulls play the Miami Heat, who knocked the Bulls out of the play-in tournament. Collier noting that Zach did not have a great game in that one after having a big game in the first play-in win over Toronto.
That is very, very true.
I guess I understand these drops for DeMar and Zach. I think if there's one I don't agree with more, it's Zach.
More so than DeMar. Explain, please.
Because if your basis for dropping him 11 spots is, just really had a rough first half of his season, I call bullshit. I think he had a rough first quarter of his season. It's not just, Zach after the All-Star break was great, and I feel like I've hit the hit this nail with a hammer a million times. Go back and look at Zach's monthly splits from last season. It was not just, wow, really picked it up after the All-Star break. Because after the All-Star break is what, like 15 games, 17 games, whatever? No. December on, Zach was playing All-Star basketball.
Thanks.
Don't give me this first half, second half bullshit.
Yeah.
For the first quarter, he struggled, and he was rusty. Mm-hmm. October, first part of November. Once December hit, Zach was balling, and I don't want to hear it any other way.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And I think that he points out that second half, obviously, because that's when people were paying attention more. Because one, Pat Beverly went there. And two, you were 14-9.
Yeah, you went 14-9. I don't know if you knew that.
I don't know if you knew that, man. His thing. They went 14-9. But it was just blowing off the charts, watching what he was doing. Like, it was honestly wasn't even debatable about how great he was playing. Like, it was just amazing what he was doing. So I can see somebody from the outside looking in, saying it like that, would approach it in that way. Because it's easy to turn in at the beginning of the year, and say, oh, man, having a bad first half, I'll come back and holler at him later. You know, he come back and holler later, and he's picking it up in that second half. You're like, oh, man, this is great. He's amazing. You're still going to fall some spots because I agree with him falling spots. I agree with that because, again, everything comes with the winning. I get that. He wasn't an all-star either, you know, so I get all of those things. But your point is very valid. Like, from December on, he didn't do anything but increase and get better and better and better. And the reason he wasn't was the reasons he mentioned was because of injury. Yeah. It wasn't like he wasn't out there trying to ball. It was games he sat out. Remember he sat out, what, the first two games of the year because of the knee. Mm-hmm. And it was games we were like, I think you should keep sitting. Yeah. It's okay, bro. Like, but no, that's not in him. He wants to play. So he shouldn't be penalized for wanting to be out there and play and try to help his team. He was out there trying to play and get back, you know what I'm saying, what he had. So, no, I feel your point. I feel your point. I'm okay with him falling, you know, but your point is definitely valid.
15 December games, and then I'll shut up.
15. Please don't. Keep going.
15 December games for Zach LaVine last season. 52.1% from the field.
I heard that's good.
42.9% from three.
He's sexy, Matt.
Averaging 24.5 points per game, 4.3 boards, 4 dimes.
Talk to him, god dang it.
True shooting percentage of 62.9.
Is that good?
Yeah.
I'm not a mad
guy. But he was rusty in that first half of the season, which includes December. He was super rusty.
Rusty. Rusty!
That's for all you Zach LaVine was bad in the first half of last season, people.
Rusty!
Do your damn homework. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this man's a fool. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. We are out of time. One more quick shout-out to our friends at Circle K.
Hey!
Circle K.
Circle back.
I popped into one the other day. Got myself full tank of gas. Mm. Fresh bevies, couple of snacks. If you haven't done so yet, what are you waiting for? Join the Inner Circle by downloading Circle K's free app today.
Free.
It's a free membership program that comes with perks and benefits. There. Why not? You got your phone in your pocket all the time. Add one more app so that every time you go to Circle K, you save money and or get free stuff, including 25 cents off every per gallon every time you fill up for the first five times after you download that app. Mm. 25 cents off a gallon.
That's not bad.
For your first five fill-ups after you download the Circle K app. Plus, every sixth selection on Circle K products, like their hot and ready slices of pizza, their coffees, their ice cold fountain drinks, every sixth one you're getting for free.
Free.
Just by having the Circle K app. Yes. So what are you waiting for? Join the Inner Circle for free by downloading that Circle K app today. Terms and conditions apply at participating locations. Visit CircleK.com for details.
Sexy.
We are out. We will be back tomorrow with preseason postgame number 2, 7 p.m. Central tip-off, Bulls defending champion Nuggs tomorrow night.
Can't wait, man.
More basketball to watch.
Yes.
Can't wait.
And I'll be here to watch it with you.
We'll be here.
Yes.
You'll be there, out there, wherever you are, in Bulls Nation. It's
out there.
And then joining us for postgame.
It's fairy dust.
Shout-out and thanks and love to our pal and producer, Joyce Pathis, as always.
Not even backing down.
Even if he's wrong.
Not backing down.
About daylight savings time.
Damn it!
Follow him at Joey Spathis on Twitter. Today we call him Joey Fix Things.
Joey Fix Things.
Big Dave's at Pal, BWL Sports. I'm Bulls underscore Peck. Our guys, Will underscore Gottlieb and Mark MK Hoops.
Yeah.
Follow them too. We are at CHGO underscore Bulls. Hit the thumb if you haven't done so yet. Before you head out, make sure you're subscribed to CHGO Sports YouTube channel. Getting closer and closer to that 40K mark. Blackhawks, CHGO. Post game.
That's right.
Again tonight.
That's right.
Let's get another dub.
2-0.
Connor Bedard, go score your first goal.
Do it.
Until tomorrow night's post game, see Red be good, Bulls Nation.
Happy birthday, Evan. Peace.
Whoop, whoop.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.